just a caveat that last season, Sessegnon played the wing-back role and Tottenham really did target diagonals over the top of Trent for Sessegnon.
The Fantasy Football Show.
And the patrons, Friday, game week something, 14, 15, 15? What are we going into?
15, sweetheart.
Basically, two till the World Cup. That's how I work. How many till the World Cup in reverse order?
You ain't legally into the season until you get to next week, mate.
We aren't legally into the season until we get to next week.
You can start doing certain shit when you're 16, can't you?
Oh, I see 15, what you mean. Yeah.
Breaking laws, aren't you?
Like, start playing for West Ham. Oliver Scholes, hello. 16, wasn't he?
Is he 16? We have to talk about him next week.
Yeah.
I'm excited to learn about all these West Ham kids.
16 years old. Like, I was fucking...
Yeah, exactly. Finish.
In the park smoking weed with my mates when I was 16 years old, honestly. Think about the shit we were doing at 16.
Oh, God. What a time.
Yeah.
Should we just do a pod on that instead?
Yeah. I mean, just... The maturity. I do think one thing with kids coming through at the moment, not just at West Ham, just generally, and we've seen with the likes of Saka and Foden. I mean, yeah, Foden had that situation with England when he was away, but maybe he had bad influences then. They all seem much more rounded and level-headed nowadays. I do feel like clubs are making a lot of effort to make sure that the young kids coming through are rounded, not just like, you know, give them shitloads of money and suddenly they're superstars. They all seem quite down to earth. They speak relatively well compared to maybe there was a generation when they were coming through that was a bit more wild.
I think it's interesting.
But it probably coincides with the jump in money in football as well and how much people were earning at the time as well.
I think education in terms of protecting kids from within football clubs is probably greater. We've seen so many cases of, I mean, you've had one at your club. Ravel Morrison's a great example, right?
Yeah.
Where you think, oh my God, the world's at his feet and he just disappears, basically. Mm. So I think clubs are more conscious of that now in terms of perception. Yeah.
But he wasn't ours, just on Ravel.
No,
he was Man United.
Sir Alex had already kicked him out of United, hadn't he?
He'd had his whole history at Manchester United was a red flag already. I think we just took a punt as... if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, nothing venture, nothing gain. But yeah, really interesting to see. And I think it's so important because at some point when we get to money in football and we start looking at post-professional careers of footballers, I think that's the big problem is when they finish playing, like what the fuck do they do? So if they're getting a better education and foundation early, then yes. Right. This is the differential show, James. So
Predictions.
Predict the teams, predict the matches, talk about teams and all of that other jazz as well, patrons. No early kickoff tomorrow.
I know.
So you get to have a fry up before you do the deadline stream.
Literally don't normally do anything before the deadline stream on a Saturday. Then I don't even normally eat before it. The dump, shower, wake up. That's about it. Ren, just make sure I'm ready for it.
Leeds at home to Bournemouth.
Yeah, interesting one this. Obviously, look, Leeds had a great result last week.
Yep.
And Bournemouth, despite the way the game ended, can count themselves unlucky for certainly what happened in the first half against my team last weekend. And they've been doing pretty well under Gary O'Neill. The team's far more settled now. It's different pressure for Leeds. These are more the type of fixtures that Leeds have had difficulty in. I think last home game, and this is an important aspect of this, I think, is obviously a few teams have got last home game before
World Cup,
certainly in terms of Premier League game anyway. So I think you'll get a proper Leeds atmosphere, let's say. Night will descend during the game. That always adds a little bit of a nice thing. Something beautiful about a 3 o'clock game starting in daylight and finishing in darkness. There's something honestly brilliant about it. I'm going to go 1-0 Leeds.
2-1 Leeds for me. I think they've been doing all right despite some bad results. They've still been getting goals and there's games they should have won or got something out of in that run. And then obviously culminated in the victory last week. So home game, I'm going to give them the advantage, but I also am going to back Bournemouth to score in this one. So I think 2-1 leads is where I'm at. Manchester City, Fulham, 3-0.
You're right there, sweetheart. Do you want some of my water? So just not brought any water in.
Right, it was my 3-0 Man City, comfortable. I've seen videos of Haaland's training and all that.
It was a video footage as well. I've seen photo
there was
of him.
Focals.
Listen, if Focals put it, it's gospel. He's not normally wrong.
I think so.
I've certainly seen a photograph. We are just timestamp this. It's just gone 10 o'clock in the morning when we're recording. Pep Guardiola's press conference, we now know, is scheduled for 12:30 p.m. So we'll get news quite early, but we won't get any news, will we? Here's what we'll get from Guardiola. We'll get... Haaland has done one day's worth of training. We'll have to assess him in training later today. You could have done with a later press conference time, trust me. And when we'll make a decision tomorrow.
Yeah.
Is he even going to get asked about Phil Foden? No idea. My take on Phil Foden, by the way, is ride it, play him. At the moment, he's vice-captain. I don't buy into the whole... It's almost the opposite of... We sat on the pod on... the Monday, not just gone, the one before. And I warned you when you said, oh, Foden will play the next one, that Guardiola has weird kind of trends. And this is the same. This is the opposite. Because he played 90 minutes in the week in the Champions League, doesn't mean he's not going to start and play 90 minutes tomorrow. He's weird. Correct. He's weird like that. So,
I'm playing both.
At the moment, I'm Haaland captain, Foden vice-captain. Like, I'm going all in on the two of them. I'll end up with, like, Gaye as my captain. I was like, I really won't. I'm going to go 4-1 to City.
Focal didn't tweet about Haaland. He tweeted about Callum Wilson, but we'll talk about that when we get to Newcastle.
Oh, look at you. Right, fuck that up.
Someone had posted a video. I don't know if it was accurate or not.
Yeah, Haaland, I think City still have the odd vulnerability defensively. But I also think, despite the fact we've kind of lavished praise on Fulham so far this season... Actually, their underlying numbers suggest they are still given a lot of chances away. And they have this open nature about them that I think does lead to the possibility of them taking the odd hiding or two this season. And listen, City can do that to anyone. So I'm going to go 4-1.
Forest, Brentford, I am putting down for a 1-0 home win to Nottingham Forest.
I feel like I've been screaming about this game for a few weeks. Go on.
Brentford will have a higher XG. That's my prediction.
Oh, I like
Brentford
that.
Brentford will have a higher XG, but Nottingham Forest will win 1-0.
Okay. It's interesting. I mean, you shouldn't overly look into XG on one football match anyway. No. But yeah, I understand where you're at with that, actually. The listeners will know I've got a narrative issue around Brentford, which, to be fair, when Tom Med came on COTC the other week, we looked at it and there's not a lot in it. There's nothing in the overall, you know, points gained, goals scored, that kind of thing, that actually suggests that there is a proper away from home problem for Brentford. But I suspect there is one, actually. I really do. I think they've had one clean sheet away from home since winning at Wolves last September. That's one that stands out in my mind. And many of you will probably know, I've been saying for a while, when this game comes around, I expect Forest to win it. And now we've got Ivan Toney suspended from it, so I certainly don't feel any different. I'm going to go 2-0 Forest.
Okay. Wolves at home to Brighton, James. Brighton also off the back of a very good victory last week. And I think that gap between XG and actually turning them into results sometimes is a little bit of confidence. And scoring 4 is a real, obviously, confidence boost, and they know that they can do it. So I'm going to back Brighton to win this. But again, Wolves, like we said, defensively, they're not like... they're not crap, so I'm not gonna put it down as a big one, but 2-0 I think to Brighton. That's fairly big, to be fair, away at Wolves. Wolves obviously no Costa, right?
No, suspended.
The harshly judged Costa, says Nico. And Nico's.
But then I look at Duncan Webster, and I think they wouldn't have been bothered by Costa anyway.
Probably.
Might actually be more bothered about little people in and around them, like Podence, for example. Yeah, I imagine Huang will probably have to play up front.
Huang.
Brighton won this fixture in April at Molineux 3-0, Suj.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not that long ago. That's during Brighton's good spell from the victories in North London and the beginning of Wolves' really bad spell. following their own games in North London in February. I'm going to back Wolves to score, though. Otherwise, my thought process is similar to yours. I'm going to go 2-1 Brighton.
Everton-Leicester.
Obviously, spoke about this on COTC, which I think is a really good episode to listen to with Sean and Aaron on Everton-Leicester. It's amazing. I feel like these ones where it's kind of less fantasy interest often tend to be the better ones. We had a really, really good laugh on that. And yes, Sean got his Alex Iwobi apology. And he told us on the podcast that obviously he never has Everton players, and then decided yesterday to tweet out that he might actually buy Alex Iwobi.
Yeah.
Good morning, Sean. You'll probably regret it, sweetheart. But I'll stick to my prediction from that podcast and I will go 2-1 to Everton.
I'm going to back an away win here.
Okay.
Because you were spewing the stats about Leicester's away goals scored and how well they'd done away from home in terms of goal scoring. I'm going to back them to win 2-1. But I think this is a game that could go any which way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Chelsea, Arsenal, the early kickoff at 12 o'clock. I don't know if you watch much BT Sport, but I didn't realise BT have been using Aubameyang for their pre-game adverts, right? Like him standing there, because obviously West Ham's Europa.
I've never even twigged about Aubameyang playing Arsenal. Go on.
Yeah, but it was all Aubameyang, like, he's got his, you know, his Aubameyang's at Arsenal, it's nothing personal, I'm back, I'm a blue now, kind of thing. So they're hyping that up, BTR anyway. But yeah, Aubameyang against his former team, you can't necessarily say he was obviously captain, but he's not in their pantheon of club legends, is he? So
no, mate, as you remember when he did the signing of the new contract, it was such a big deal, like, oh, he's been spotted at the ground, he's on the pitch, and there was this whole I want to be a legend, and then proceeded to do nothing again in an Arsenal shirt.
The curse of the new contract, we see it so often.
I'm gonna let you do this prediction first.
I'm going to back Arsenal to win 2-1, James. It's a tight one. I think if anything, though, I would say that I'm going to, if it's 3-1 or 4-1 Arsenal,
bloody hell,
is more likely than a Chelsea win.
Wow, really?
I think they're going
to,
yeah.
You think they're more likely to batter Chelsea than Chelsea win?
Yeah.
Wow,
I think it's all down to the intensity of how they come out of the gates, mate. If it's tight at half-time, I think Arsenal need to win this game in the first half. I think if they come out of the gates with the intensity that they've shown, they could go 2-up by half time. And then, yes, I think it is done. Similar to against you, perhaps. But if Chelsea can keep it tight the longer it goes on, then I think Chelsea have more and more of a chance. But Arsenal's intensity is they have to win these games early and make that early pressure count. Otherwise, it does get very difficult. But I think they will. I really do think they will. So I'm going to back them. 2-1, though. My prediction's conservative. A sneaky makes me think they might do even better.
Now, something to add to the narrative that I've been giving, that Chelsea like to have their belly tickled for Arsenal. It's just another way to stick the knife into Tottenham. Arsenal won at Stamford Bridge in the last two seasons. It's worth saying those victories have both been very late in the season, where the consequences to Chelsea's end position in the season have been negligible, let's say. It's not had a huge impact on what. So you can't say that Arsenal have obviously won there the last two seasons, they haven't necessarily come up against the best Chelsea. I think it's also fair to say that big game away games have been a difficulty for Arsenal for a long time, other than this Chelsea fixture, which, as I said, has potentially had a couple of reasons. But Chelsea have also had their belly tickled at the Emirates a few times when it has been at sort of this stage of a season. I think Chelsea have underlying issues both offensively and defensively, and I think the biggest danger to Arsenal in this match is themselves in terms of how they play, how they adjust the way they play after the first goal of the game goes in. And I don't think a draw is obviously not a bad result for Arsenal, right? I think even a City would go to Chelsea, okay, draw, okay, fine, move on. So it's still a very tough game. But I think Arsenal right now are in a much stronger position, and my prediction would be the same as yours, 2-1 Arsenal.
Villa, Manchester United. Manchester United obviously had a massive win last week, but Aston Villa were brought back down to earth by Newcastle. I can see this being 2-0 to Manchester United, James. I think you'd think the front three or four, if you've got Watkins, Ings, Bailey, even Buendia or whoever, Coutinho if he plays, could and should be able to cause Manchester United some trouble. And they did give up chances against us as well. But I don't think they will. I think they'll be all right. I think defensively they're actually going to be good for a clean sheet. And I think Manchester United on the counter and are going to do all right. They're going to win 2-0. I think I can see Rashford on the score sheet again. So I'm going to back them.
I think this is a really tough call, partly because obviously Unai Emery's first game as Villa manager. You will get an excited and certainly buoyant crowd at Villa Park. They'll be right up for it from the start, which, you know, because of the fixture, they would be anyway. And we have seen this season, despite some really bad home results in terms of the end scoreline, such as Chelsea this year and Tottenham towards the end of last season, that Villa have actually given some of the bigger sides some real tests at Villa Park. And we don't know what sort of Villa we're going to get. You mentioned that front four. Is he going to play that front four?
I don't know.
Exactly. We don't know what he's going to do, which makes the game really difficult to predict. I think the loss of Bruno Fernandes is obviously a blow to United. I think Ronaldo obviously started again last night, and he may well start again on Sunday, considering Bruno's absence and other absentees. No sign of Anthony Martial yet, I don't think. I think Mings and Consar won't disapprove of having Ronaldo as an opponent, actually. And I think this will be a test. This will be a test for United. I think the expectations swing in where you're absolutely right to expect them to win. I think the unpredictable nature because of Villa having a new manager means I'm going to lean in for a draw here. I'm going to go 1-1.
Saints, Newcastle, St Mary's. Sorry, Matt Samuel, but I think you're going for a shit afternoon if you're going. I'm back in Newcastle to win 3-0.
Wow.
And I think it's going to be a difficult, hostile and horrible afternoon for Ralph Hasenhüttl. I think it's going to be one of them. Crowd are going to hate it. Crowd are going to be miserable. Crowd are going to boo. But Newcastle, I think, are actually really building some momentum. Like, there's the self-belief that they belong now up at that top six level.
Swing a change of pressure now, though.
I get that. But I think they've got the quality to be able to manage
it as
well.
Everyone thinks that Newcastle goes to Southampton and win.
Correct. And I think they win 3-0 as well. They've definitely got the firepower. I mean, they're scoring goals for fun at the moment. So 3-0 Newcastle. Let's go bold.
Yeah, Joe Linton will obviously be a miss as a suspension. I don't think quite as emphatic as you, Suge. But yeah, 2-0 for Southampton. I mean, Southampton can pick anything up from these next two against Newcastle and Liverpool. Will be a bonus, as I've said. They're liable with these two fixtures to go into the World Cup and be in the bottom three. But a victory here would presumably mean that they wouldn't, and that would be a big psychological boost ahead of they do have a good run of fixtures in late December and throughout January, actually. But I think, yeah, 2-0 Newcastle for me.
West Ham, Crystal Palace. I'll let you predict first on this one.
You are, Suj. I asked the question on Twitter last Friday when I was deliberating moves and looking at defenders and overthought just buying Callum fucking Wilson. I asked Twitter to tell me who they thought was the best for a clean sheet this week, if not Manchester City. And bearing in mind, I've not predicted Manchester City for a clean sheet. In fact, I've only predicted three: Leeds, Nottingham Forest and Newcastle. But the team that the bookies give the second highest probability for a clean sheet this week, Suj, is West Ham. Out of all 20 teams.
You and me, I mean, we can't. I can't say they're mad and they're idiots because they make a fuckload of money from this predictions game, right? They clearly know what they're doing statistically. So if I was ever going to go for statistics, the first place I would go to is the bookies. I'm just trying to think. When have we kept clean sheets? Wolves at home, Bournemouth at home.
Oh, just last two home games.
And Aston Villa away. Three clean sheets all season so far.
Okay.
And that's Wolves, who have no strikers. Bournemouth, obviously, potentially relegation.
Lost Solanke during the game, in fairness, as well.
I look at it from that point of view, and I'm like, I've seen us, and the way I would describe it, James, is we're not bad defensively. We're good defensively. We have shape and structure, and we're difficult to break down. But we always seem to make the odd, stupid mistake in a game that makes us concede one or two. So, clean sheet, nah. If you said who's most likely to concede less than two goals, I'd say, yeah, all day long. Put a bet on that. Put your house on it, but... No, don't put your house on it, but no, not for me. But anyway.
Thank you for previewing the game instead of me. 2-1 West Ham.
2-1?
Yeah.
I'm going 1-1.
Why are you bottling it?
I think there's just something to...
You really do have fucking mood swings, mate.
I just think that it's there's a lot.
Weren't you going to win at Old Trafford last week?
Yeah, I thought we were. I thought we were.
But now you're not going to beat Palace at home.
Yeah, and you know this Thursday-Sunday thing? There's as much sometimes when you don't you change the whole team on a Thursday and all of them were left at home, so we'll have a fresh 11 that will play. Not sure what the latest is on Paqueta, but like
I think he's still out. Was the word, I think.
So Benrahma, I suspect, will play as well. He's the differential punt of the week. I think Benrahma is an interesting one.
Okay, we're going to talk about him a bit more in a bit. I think
I'm going to go 1-1. I think
2-1.
I think genuinely it's going to be a 1-1.
2-1. I think you're a much stronger team home and away. We spoke about it a bit yesterday on Tottenham. I do think, yes, that there is a vibe that do I overly fancy you for clean sheets? I'm not so sure, actually. But yeah, I expect you to win. I've spoken about Palace a lot on the Monday pods recently, and I wouldn't say Palace are in a bad place. We're not in the right place, let me say, right now. So 2-1 West Ham.
And last but not least... at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, Spurs versus Liverpool.
Listen, that's White Hart Lane to you, you prick. Go on, you go
Tottenham
first.
Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. I predict.
The Google Stadium, the Chrome Dome.
I predict.
A riot.
Liverpool 2, Spurs 0.
2-0? You really are a prick, aren't you?
I think no sun.
Yeah.
No creativity.
Yeah. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be a difficult one. And I think Conte likes to set up not to lose first, but then it's hard sometimes to switch that momentum.
But this is be careful, particularly in a game like this against Liverpool, you're setting up to not lose first, but setting up to win, trust me.
Yeah, I get that. But then you need to, if you had Kulusevski and Son, I'd say set up not to lose.
Well, potentially we could go and throw bombs at them. In terms of actually dominating the play as well. But if we just go and throw bombs at Liverpool, we are definitely getting beat.
Correct.
Unless we invite them and explore the opportunities that they give in terms of turnovers, they're fucked. My honest take is, I think if Son had not got the injury, I'd be sitting here and now predicting us to win. I think it's that big. And I'm going to go 2-1 Liverpool. I think, as I spoke about on Tottenham, I think Højbjerg and Bentancur absolutely key. That they unbelievably could be what unlocks the door that means that we can still win this football match. But I just think for this fixture more than anything, I think the loss of Son is...
too big.
Bad. Predicted lineup, because I know you'll want it. Lloris in goal, same back three from Marseille. So Dier, Longley, Davis. Wing-backs, Emerson, Perisic, Bissouma, Højbjerg, Bentancur, Lucas and Kane.
Okie dokie. What are you doing with your team this week? It's all been about selling Mitrovic. You still on sell Mitrovic?
Just one more note on Perisic, if I can, because I know this is important to the listeners. Just by a reminder, because I did respond this to Dan on Twitter the other day. I see no reason why Perisic won't start. Just a caveat that last season, Sessegnon played the wing-back role, and Tottenham really did target diagonals over the top of Trent for Sessegnon. Now, if you've got Perisic there, you can't do that. And he might just determine that without Son, that Sessegnon is an out ball. But I find it very difficult to think Perisic won't play. They're just something to be aware of. Mitrovic to Schumacher is my likely move. It's kind of been planned move for 10 days or so. And as I spent all of last week planning to buy Callum Wilson and didn't, I don't really intend to change my mind on it. But... with no threat from price change possibilities overnight, I'm not rushed into the decision. It might be that I don't even make the transfer till the deadline stream as a possibility. But I think I probably will set it up so the graphic's ready for the deadline stream. And I think Schumacher in for it. As I said, intention is to captain Haaland. I think he'll play. An intention actually at the moment is Phil Foden vice captain. I think he'll play. Which obviously that's a little dangerous, but that's what I'm going to do, I think. I'm not convinced that City will keep a clean sheet against Fulham, who have lost, it should be said, Niskanen's Cabano out for the season. No sooner have they got Harry Wilson back fit, Cabano's out for the season. Seem pretty cursed in terms of winger position at the moment. Just another note on Mitrovic. I wonder if he might not play tomorrow. And the thinking behind that is four yellows and them definitely wanting against Manchester United and maybe even kind of writing this game off a little bit tomorrow and also giving him a bit of a break because we know that he is carrying this injury. I find it highly predictable that if Mitrovic plays tomorrow, he gets booked.
Okay.
I think for me, it's the right decision to move him on. I wouldn't be surprised if he's not in the team. And we just hear, oh, he's had a little setback. Because I think they'll really want him against United the following week. Just something to be aware of.
Yeah, I've got Mitrovic. I've got two potential players I want to move on. Mitrovic and Doherty. I don't really need Doherty between now and the end of the season. Like, if I'm... Mitrovic might still return. You've predicted a 4-1 for Fulham. If he was to play, you'd think who's the one that's likely to get a goal is Mitrovic.
Oh, yeah, listen, to be honest, it's only just a thought process I've had on him.
So I need to think about it. I might even be bold enough to want to make two moves.
You got two frees? Or?
Yeah, I do have two frees. Right. So I could really downgrade Doherty and upgrade Mitrovic with the spare money. So
you're thinking about Wilson. You've got Wilson already. Wilson. Yeah. We thinking about Calvert-Lewin?
Maybe. Or I could downgrade. I haven't got Jesus. Someone could go to Jesus, for example. But I'm not really feeling that. I would downgrade Mitrovic and upgrade Doherty, potentially.
You go Mitrovic to what, Solanke or Awoniyi?
Awoniyi.
You go Awoniyi, yeah?
I would go Awoniyi. That gives me 1.2 million. I've got 1.6 in the bank, so that gives me nearly 6.5 million.
And what would be the other move you did say, sorry?
A Doherty to someone.
What are you thinking?
No idea. No idea, but... maybe even a Robertson or something, if I was really going to
go bold. That high?
Yeah.
Did you not learn anything from what I did last week?
I mean, it's now short term, right? For a couple of weeks.
I honestly would not be surprised if Liverpool, as much as I kind of went, oh, you know, I made a mistake last week, I would not be surprised if Liverpool kept clean sheet this week and next week.
Nah, I can't do Awoniyi. I can't, I'm short. But I would just put any old cheap shit forward in.
So what have you got in the bank?
If I buy Robertson, I've got 5.2 for a forward.
Oh, right. You don't have to buy Robertson, right?
No.
Tell you an interesting one might be, if you really fancy it, is Canato.
You think he'll play now? Gomez out.
Well, he played in midweek. Mm. And I think off the back of Gomez's error against Leeds, yeah, I think probably ideally the physicality to go against Harry Kane. I think they probably will want to play Canate, yeah, would be my take. He's got to be about 4'8 or something, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's cheap.
But Aaron Crespo, Suj?
Yeah, I think he will play.
Oh, I'm not doubting that. I mean, there's an option.
Yeah, I don't
he's
mind
the
it.
One I've maybe thought about, because I've got 0.3 in the bank. I have thought about that, going Doherty to Cresswell and just
punt it for
leaving
two.
Mitrovic and benching either him or Solanke.
Going to sleep on it, I think. Going to sleep on it. And we'll probably get some team news out of the presses that will influence our decisions as well.
It's a shame that we don't really know where we stand on Nico Williams either, for those that own, in terms of whether he'll play or not. Obviously, it was Aurier and Lottie at Arsenal. I think Aurier will play again, would be my best guess. I think one-week punter, he's arguably maybe Leeds. And if you are looking for that, the one I would go for is Pascal Struyck.
Cool. Diff team, dead team. Let's do all of those bits and pieces.
Right.
And then announce our minus 56s. And, yeah.
Okay, yeah, we can do all that. The dead team, 46 points last week, Suj. smashing it as per fucking usual. Captain Mo Salah, 14 points, 9 for Jesus, 4 for Perisic, 6 for Cancelo. Little bit shite. There were a number of people who scored 75 in the Zombie League last week. James Morrison, Andy Diver, Beth Hay. But top score of the shop was Zombie Milburn with 78. Returns for Meslier, 7-pointer he got at Liverpool, Suge. Robertson, Cancelo, Perisic, Captain Salah, Callum Wilson, 19, Jesus, 9. Even had 20 points on the bench with Pickford and Gabriel as well. Decent little zombie team, that. The Wooden Spoon, the only person who scored less than 30, Mickey Raish, 24. Ward, Robertson, Dyer, Van Dijk, Williams, Andrea, Son, Mount, Ward-Prowse, Captain Kane, Erling Haaland wasn't even auto-subbed out because you got Zinchenko, Neto and Greenwood, all 0-pointers. The differential team, Suj, not bad actually, 66 points for the week, of which 30 of those points came from Callum Wilson and Jordan Pickford. You can add another 12 for Miguel Almiron as well, 7 for Robertson, and this despite a captain blank Darwin Nunez and a 0-pointer for Schumacher. We didn't speak about it on Monday's pod, by the way. Do you think he should have been sent off?
No.
I think he was lucky.
The boot was raised, don't get me wrong, but he was attempting to play the ball and he was looking at the ball. I don't think
he flicked the top of his boot to play the ball rather than a stud action.
No, it was the base. So
I agree.
Yellow, but you might call it an orange, but I think if he'd been sent off...
He'd already been booked, hadn't he?
Oh, yeah.
So I think a lot of the time he'd get booked there. Yeah. Not a red card as in...
It wasn't a straight red. It was...
I think it's one of them. You just get a different referee, you get booked out.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
We've seen reds for so much less, or double yellows for so much less. So.
Very fortunate that we rolled a transfer last week because we're going to need to use them, which we'll come back onto in a second. Chilwell did his hamstring the other night. Miguel Almiron obviously must be sold by everybody at this stage. Talking of which...
And Sonny needs to go as well.
Sorry to have a whinge and act like a fucking head teacher here. But Mr. Rob Chetty, FPL Panda, does a huge amount of background work in our Planet FPL patron community to kind of help things going. You know, the stuff every week with the patron Champions League and updating the spreadsheets, the spreadsheets even. Looking at my score last week, it was a spreadsheet as well. That kind of go unnoticed. And one of the things that Rob regularly does is checking on the differential league and make sure people are taking... hits if they keep players who are over 20% owned. The following people need to take hits. Phil Broadbent, you owe us a minus 20. Gloria Kanchelskis, minus 8. Newcastle correspondent, Simon Bibby, I did you a nice video this week on Miguel Almiron, you owe us a minus 8. Robin Frost, a minus 4. Trey, a minus 8. James Brennan, minus 8. Dan Cowie, minus 12. I'm going to keep murking these people off that don't take hits. If you've given up on a differential team, just let us know. We'll remove the team from the league. It's not a problem. But Rob's spending way too much time on this at the moment. He's got a fucking life and he's not on the Planet FPL payroll, right? Yeah. And I don't want to have to put him on it because he's not that fucking good. Hi, Rob. Hope you're well, mate. Right. Best scores from last week. 76, Josh Reynolds. It's not you. Lewis James, 77, it's not you. Angus McPhail, 77, it's not you. Emma Bannister, 78, top scorer. Raya 3, Cher 6, White 6, Henry 2, Gabriel 6, Bowen 2, Almiron 12, Sterling 1, Solanke 2, Schumacher 0, Captain Callum Wilson for 38. Not the only one who captained Wilson last week. In fact, the 6 top scorers last week, unsurprisingly, capped Callum Wilson. Other than Lewis James captained Almiron. Wooden Spoon differential league. The highest score of a team that made, lowest score of a team that made transfers was Anto Cara Malone with 27 points. And Robertson, the only returnee. Feel like I've seen that team a few times. Right, differential team, Suge, for us. This is how we bust this week before we talk about transfers. Pickford, back four of Dunk, Gay, Gabriel, Robertson. Midfield three of Bowen, Madison, Barnes. Up front, Darwin Nunez, Schumacher and Callum Wilson. Our bench is dead. We got no backup goalkeeper, but we don't need it with Pickford in goal. Heung-min Son, obviously fractured eye socket, having an operation. No timeline yet on his return. I imagine expect to see him in a fucking mask at the World Cup would be my best guess. Miguel Amron must be sold by everybody. Well in excess of 20% ownership. And as mentioned, Ben Chilwell, hamstring injury. We do have, Suj, two free transfers. And we have, I will tell you, in the bank, 0.6 million. Amron and Son have both got to go here, haven't they? Well, Amron obviously physically has to. But there's nothing to hold on here with Son either.
Nope.
Right, so let's talk about differential midfielders. I got a nice little list of players here. Give me a yes, no in terms of if you would consider these players. And I'm going to go through them in the order of points they've scored so far this season in FPL. Bernardo Silva.
Okay.
Granit Xhaka.
I like.
Alex Iwobinho.
Punty.
Mason Mount.
Needs some fashion advice.
Really? Wait, I missed that.
I'll show you. He went to the premiere of the new Black Panther Wakanda Forever movie.
Did he?
Yes. And what he was wearing...
Did he dress up like a panther?
Was fucking bizarre.
Okay. Do you want to show us later?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, for the kids these days... probably think he was dressed.
Is it like
cool.
A kind of like a Dominic Calvert-Lewin get up? No. And you know how Dom pulls it off quite good, actually. Oh, wow.
I'm showing James a photograph.
Oh, my God. please treat that and put coming up on the differential show for patrons today. That's great. Right, okay, Mason Mount, these get-ups too fucking bad. Right, Raheem Sterling, Suj.
Arsenal, and then who have they got after?
Newcastle away.
Okay, nah.
Same for Mason Mount and his get-up. Ilkay Gundogan.
Like?
Joe Willock.
No.
Brendan Aaronson.
No. You haven't got to the name I want to buy.
Christian Eriksen.
No.
Saeed Benrahma.
Yeah.
Willian.
Don't mind.
Riyad Mahrez, 22 FPL points so far this season.
He could pop off at any point, but I don't really...
don't you know it?
I like Gundogan more than I like Riyad Mahrez breaking into the box. But I like Benrahma. I like Xhaka.
And a couple of very rogue ones. Karim Mitoma of Brighton.
Not bad.
Somerville of Leeds, who obviously scored at Anfield last week, 4.4.
Cheap.
Yeah. Lucas Moura.
Very punty.
And Garnacho of Manchester United, who is 4.3 and scored a terrific goal in Sociedad last night. And I wouldn't be surprised if he started.
I'd buy Xhaka. If it was me, I'd buy Xhaka and Benrahma, you know.
So not like a Gundogan or a Bernardo.
I'd buy Gundogan and Benrahma, but the Gundogan one is a bit risky, as would Bernardo be.
Bear in mind, here's the thing as well, right? We take out Sonny and Almiron, we've got 17.8 million to spend.
I know, we're not going to be able to spend it.
Well, no.
Take a hit and get and upgrade Chilwell if you want.
But for what? I still ain't spending the money, mate.
No, that's the thing, exactly.
So no, Chilwell's 5.8. I've got Andy Robertson. Where am I going with the money?
Yeah, we don't need the bench.
I'm not going anywhere. So I think Benrahma, I'm okay with that. What would you put his prospects to start in, Suj?
High.
Give me a percentage.
Oh, shit. I'm going to go 65 to 70%. And I'll tell you the what's frustrating me. We need three attacking midfielders in this game. Fornals, Benrahma, Bowen. Like, Bowen's going to play. Flynn Downs played yesterday and dominated the game. Like, from a midfield point of view, he was everything. And he played really well, but he also played the majority of the game. So, off the back of that, and he's played the last couple. So, that 35% doubt in me is we've seen Downs play a couple of games. All right, not great in the Premier League, but not the worst. But he was really good yesterday. Like, dominated the game yesterday. So then I'm like, fuck, is Moyes going to fucking keep ploughing ahead with this same strategy? But we need Benrahma's creativity. And Benrahma was, our, my opinion, best player against Manchester United. So 65, 70% on Benny.
Okay. That will give us treble West Ham attack.
Come on.
Such properly just...
6-0
properly
against
just screamed
Crystal
at me.
Palace.
All right, so let me ask you this: I'm okay with Benrahma. I mean, 5.6 as well. I think that's very reasonable.
Price. I mean, yeah. He went on that run, didn't he? When he's on a run and he's streaky, he will pick you up assists and the odd goal very regularly.
Now, obviously, going Benrahma there means we could leave Son in, which feels ridiculous and stupid. But hear me out here: if we get Benrahma in this week, our front seven is Maddison and Barnes, Benrahma, Bowen, Shamaka, Wilson and Nunez. Who the fuck are we benching out of that?
Ben Barnes. Away at Everton.
But if we don't buy another player to start, we don't need a bench, Barnes.
No, fine. I'd leave it. But don't take a hit, because whoever we buy then needs to outscore by 4 points and play.
That's free. Huh? It's free.
I thought we were doing...
We've got two free transfers.
Oh, fine.
But what I'm saying is, look...
So roll the two.
I would... Well, maybe, yeah. But then you're only leaving yourself with one sub, which I think we'd probably bench Gay. I mean, we've got three West Ham attackers now, so it would have to be.
Yeah.
Do we want to go another defensive player instead? This doesn't feel like the right week.
Roll and then we can just power into next
week. I think even if we go for like a Struyck, for example, do we pick Struyck over Dunk, Gabriel or Robertson? I don't think we do.
No.
So are we better off... actually just coming back and having two free transfers for 1 week punts next week. Also bearing in mind that if Callum Wilson does pop off again on Sunday, he himself might hit 20% next week.
Leave it.
All right. I think for now, we'll go with one transfer, which is Benrahma in for the one that we have to do, which is Almiron. Captain Suj. Which invariably I forget to talk about. This is straightforward, isn't it?
Well, who are you thinking?
Wilson.
Yeah. I've predicted a 3-0, so yeah.
Vice-captain? Shamaka, Bowen, Nunez?
Let's go Bowen. Penalties.
He ain't on one anymore.
No, but Lanzini's not going to be on the pitch. Bowen.
But you reckon Benrahma will be on the pitch?
Yeah, but I think Bowen's above Benrahma in the pecking order on pens.
Well, I'm not sure about that, mate.
Because Benrahma took the last one. Yeah, Bowen wasn't on the pitch.
Bowen said after the game, he said, I weren't on him anymore anyway. Do you know what? I've not taken that as 100% gospel either, to be honest.
Yeah, nah.
All right, you can have Bowen. But I think we would have... It's interesting that I think we would have been, definitely captain Bowen going into this, but it doesn't feel that way at the moment. Yeah. Now, to be fair, that speaks a lot of Newcastle as well, I think.
Just one thing on Callum Wilson, because I did mention Focal tweeted a quote from the Footballers Football podcast earlier this week. Let me pull it up for you and I'll read it. I'll read exactly what Focal put out.
You said you listened to it.
I did listen to it. So Focal tweeted that Wilson yesterday... I'm feeling a little bit run down this week, so need to make sure that this illness doesn't kick in fully and I clear it out.
Yeah. I don't think he's even mentioning that on the podcast if he thinks he's in
There's doubt. No... Like, I listened to the hope. There's zero doubt in me. Zero that Callum Wilson will play. Unless, like, obviously something's happened that I don't know about. But if that's the thing that's keeping me up, nothing.
Okay, just timestamp that for Monday, just in case.
Yeah, yeah. The whole pod that we took... He's like... in great form, momentum's there, like high energy. He was just probably a little bit tired and a little bit cold and got a bit of a sniffle. There was nothing in that, nothing. Like if I saw that and I'm like, if that's what you interpreted from the pod as, oh, there's a risk here, we're completely reading that completely differently. There was nothing in that
that made me I haven't listened to the pod. It also went through my mind that this might be a good, convenient way to get new listeners. Oh my God, he's in form. Everybody in fantasy football's buying him this week. Just saying, I'm putting it out there that people may think, oh, I'll listen to that for the first time.
Do you know, it's funny you talk about that because Antonio went on Match of the Day 2 on Sunday after the Man United game. I didn't realise. And
interview?
He was on the sofa with fucking...
Oh, was he in the studio? I never watched it.
Because he's quite
I wish I'd watched that.
He said he wants to be a presenter when he finishes, right? So he's like, I went straight after the game. And he goes, and I also wanted to show that I can fess up after a defeat as well. And Callum Wilson's, they all rib each other, right? He's like, you didn't give me any praise or props on the show. And he's like, sure, I'm not going to say your name. Forget about you. Because they have rivalry. But what he did say on the match today, they asked him about Callum Wilson, should he go to the World Cup and whatever. And he's like, oh, you have to listen to the pod. I'm not giving that guy any praise here now. So they are obviously looking to push listeners to the pod, but I don't think that's part of it. But yeah, it's their banter is pretty funny. Callum Wilson's outscoring Antonio
significantly.
2-1 this season. I wouldn't surprise me if he stays fit. But yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. I listened to it, and if you don't want to go and listen to it to reassure yourself, I had zero doubt that Callum Wilson will be fit this weekend. Minus 56.
83 for myself last week.
Decent score.
Yeah, pretty decent. 3 for Raya, Trent, blank, Tony 1 point, and Mitrovic 1 pointer, but the rest decent. Saliba 7, Dalot 9, Captain Salah 14, De Bruyne 11, Almiron 12, Saka's 4, for everybody felt quite unlucky. Callum Wilson 19, decent. And you weren't a million miles behind, Suj.
72, which is okay. I went bold on the captaincy punt with Son. And that obviously backfired for only 4 points. But other than that, I had Callum Wilson, I had De Bruyne, I had Trippier, Robertson, Ben White all chipping in with returns. I also took a punt on Alvarez, right, who played, but Manchester City just didn't seem to want to turn it on against Leicester last week. So all good. And I did obviously have the 11-pointer from Ben Mee sitting third on my bench.
A note on minus 56 in terms of the mini league, by the way, because I'm invariably getting one message a week, which is says, and it's always done very respectfully, I forgot, what can I do? And I'm afraid we're very clear about it in pre-season. It would be survival of the fittest. If you miss a week, you are out. Yeah. Sorry. Manager of the week. 97 for a net of 41. B.M. Morrison returns for Raya, Saliba, Trippier, Dalot, Salo, De Bruyne, Saka, Almiron, Wilson, Darwin, Nunes and Tony blanks. Even had Ben Mee! Not sitting third on the bench, sitting second on the bench with 11.
Oh, were you going to say they started him?
The Wooden Spoon. By a distance, our good friend Danny Brothers, FPL Cobbler, 33. Return for Captain Salah. That's it. Blanks everywhere else, unless he wants to count Raya's freeze and Eze's freeze as part of returns. What have you done this week, Suj?
So, I've gone with quite a mid-tier, but powerful, in my opinion, midfield.
Okay.
But until Pep fucks me over, of course. Pope in goal, Dalot, Castagnier, Cancelo on my back three, Almiron, Foden, Bowen, Trossard, Rashford across the middle, and Skamaka and Haaland captain up top. My bench is fairly strong. Ward in goal, Awoniyi, Justin, Dan Burn.
Okay, good luck. I don't think I've ever picked a minus 56 team with as much, I was going to say diversity doesn't feel quite right.
3.5 in the bank.
I think I spent it all in the end, but didn't need to when you hear who my first sub is, basically. Yeah, comfortably could have left money in the bank. I've gone this week 3-4-3. Double Leeds defensive, Meslier and Strauch.
Like...
Kieran Trippier and João Cancelo. Midfield 4 of Gabriel Martinelli, Leandro Trossard, Jared Bowen, Phil Foden. I decided not to go with Haaland.
Saving him for Brentford, yeah?
It's not a case of saving him for Brentford. I'm fairly certain he plays Brentford and I'm not certain this weekend. So let's save him for next week. Up front, Jesus, Darwin Núñez, and Roberto Firmino. Captain Phil Foden. On the bench, Dean Henderson, Mason Mount, Sven Botman, and Lewis Dunk.
So, up until now, we've been on the same Haaland cycle. On, off, on, off, on, off. Now it's broken. So now we could see some real swings. I think I like that we're not on the same Haaland cycle.
By the way, I don't think it's wrong to go with Haaland in that this week, because the alternatives for captaincy, i.e. you've got, say, Kane against Leeds, yeah, yeah, Salah against Southampton, the alternatives look better next week. And in my case as well, having had De Bruyne last week, I couldn't have De Bruyne this week. So, I mean, I'm probably going to power in all four of them next week, I should imagine, and really kind of go budget elsewhere. Be interesting what I put together for that next week.
Good, good, good. That, patrons, is a wrap. Hope you enjoyed the Diff Show. Enjoy your Friday evening and the weekend, and we'll be back at you next week. Stay safe. Ciao for now.
Thanks, patrons. Good luck. Play it your way. Cue music, please, man child.
Fantasy Football Show.